At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome, dear listeners, to Scary Stories Told in the Dark. I'm Malcolm Blackwood, your host and storyteller. And you know, where I'm from, we don't do bedtime stories. So, if that's what you were expecting, you're in the wrong place. If it's terrifying tales you're after, well, then I've got just the thing. So, get comfortable, settle in, turn off the lights, if you dare. Your night is about to get a whole lot darker. Besides, who needs sleep anyway?
Good evening, listeners, and welcome back to Scary Stories Told in the Dark. I'm your host, Malcolm Blackwood. Tonight, we're venturing beyond the comforting glow of porch lights, beyond the warmth of memory, and beyond the fragile boundaries we draw to convince ourselves the darkness ends where the light does. But it never really does. Sometimes, all it takes is a single curious step beyond an old fence, a flicker of light drifting deeper into unfamiliar woods, a child following wonder into a place where something has been waiting far longer than anyone remembers. Other times, the darkness lies buried beneath centuries of dust, sealed away beneath forgotten stone, hidden inside relics never meant to be disturbed, waiting patiently for someone bold enough or foolish enough to uncover what history itself tried to erase. So, dim the lights, lock the doors, and join me as we journey beyond the last light. Tonight's opening story takes us back to one of childhood's simplest pleasures, a warm summer evening, a backyard, a mason jar, and the tiny dancing lights that seem almost magical against the night sky. But every child eventually learns there comes a point where innocent curiosity becomes something else entirely, where familiar paths disappear, the comforting sounds of home fall silent, and the light you're chasing may not be leading you back at all, but somewhere far darker. Without further ado, I present to you By the Light of the Firefly by Luke Weller, performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. When I was a boy, I lived with my mother in an old house in Georgia. It was small, and most parts of it were fairly worn, but the asking price was low, and we needed a home. It wasn't all bad, though. The place had a pretty large backyard and acres of woodland behind it. On one particularly hot summer day, I was sitting inside playing with my dog, Marley, as my mother was leaving for work and explaining the usual guidelines to the babysitter. "I'll be back around 11," I remember her saying. "Make sure he's in bed by 10. The babysitter nodded and smiled as my mother called goodbye to me and shut the door. Now it was just me, Marley, and the babysitter from down the street. "I'm going to run a couple of errands," said the babysitter, to which I nodded without looking up. I suppose here is where I mentioned this babysitter was an asshole. After my mother would leave for work, she would politely excuse herself from the house, returning just in time to collect her pay. I never complained, however. I wasn't ever afraid of being alone. And what a kid doesn't like having no rules for a while? I spent most of the day playing on my Game Boy or chasing Marley around the house. When the sun fell, it came time for my favorite summer activity, catching fireflies. I couldn't tell you why, but I was just so fascinated by fireflies and liked to keep them as pets. I grabbed an old mason jar from under the sink and left through the squeaky screen door to the back porch, Marley following at my heels. I was greeted by the overwhelming sound of insects buzzing all around the backyard. I walked down the wooden steps of the deck and began my search for fireflies. I looked for the faint glowing lights for what felt like hours, shuffling through the grass in the warm night air. Suddenly, I saw it. The biggest firefly I had ever seen, blinking around the old rusted chain-link fence in the very back. Jar in hand, I whipped after it, Marley barking after me. I had soon made it to the fence when the firefly began to retreat into the woods. I wasn't about to go back empty-handed, so I climbed over the fence with a bit of a struggle and into the woods. Marley whined on the other side as I walked past old mossy trunks, leaves crunching under my feet as I went, following the glowing yellow light. The woods felt like I had stepped into another world. The trees were enormously tall, and the leaves atop shrouded any moonlight from entering. Just as I was beginning to feel I had gone too far, I looked back to find the shining porch lights of my house, but I could not see any trace of them. I had been engulfed by the woods. I couldn't hear the buzzing of insects anymore. It was silent now. I looked forward again to find the firefly drawing closer. I needed to catch it now, if only to use it as a light to find my way back. I swooped at it with my jar and caught air. Startled, the firefly began to float upwards, blinking its yellow light as it went. It kept going higher and higher out of my reach, and I followed it with my eyes. It drifted up the high timbers, and suddenly I saw everything. Bodies. Hundreds of twisted bodies, men and women, boys and girls, strung up like puppets in the branches, illuminated only by the light of the firefly. I couldn't move, paralyzed by fear. I could hear everything, the creaking of the ropes, the moaning of the old trees, and the footsteps close by. I ducked behind a tree, trying to quiet my harsh gasping. I had gone too far, I thought, and now I was going to live up there as another puppet. I didn't know what to do, whether to run or wait, but the footsteps were growing closer. It knows I'm here, I thought. There was no way it couldn't have heard me coming. Mustering all my courage, I shoved off from the tree and bolted towards the direction I came, whipping up leaves as I went. I could hear it giving chase behind me, its feet pounding the earth rhythmically as it went. I ran faster than I ever had in my life. I couldn't stop the tears from streaming as the wind slapped against my face. I hadn't even said goodbye to my mother when she left. As I had hoped, the lights of the back porch were shining through the dark ahead of me. I could hear Marley barking, and I knew I would soon meet the old rusty fence. I remember thinking that climbing the fence would slow me down, but it was the only way. The trembling earth was growing closer, and the tip of my shoe caught a root, and I slipped, landing on my stomach. I fumbled over onto my back and began kicking away from the faint outline getting closer. I gripped my mason jar and threw it as hard as I could into the black wood. I heard a thud and got to my feet. I met the fence and vaulted into my backyard. I screamed for my dog, and we both dashed up the deck and inside, locking the door as we rushed through. I sprinted upstairs to my room and took Marley with me, locking the door and pushing a chair against it. I collapsed onto my bed with the lights on, my mind racing. I checked the clock, 10:33. Relief washed over me.
I was safe now, and soon Mom would be home. Perhaps it was the adrenaline leaving my body that made me suddenly grow very tired. I didn't want to sleep, but I couldn't fight it. I passed out on my bed with the lights on and Marley by my side. I awoke suddenly in the night to a pitch-black room. The covers were over me, so I had guessed Mom had gotten back and checked in on me. I was sweating under the warm comforter and turned on my other side. That was when I saw it. A face, inches away from my own, with bone-white skin stretched tightly over its skull. Its tall, thin figure was hunched and bent over my bed. Its lidless eyes watched me, studying me. I wanted to recoil at the sight of it, but I couldn't move. Suddenly, everything changed. I woke up gasping. The lights were on in my room, and the chair was still pushed against the door. Marley lifted his head and looked at me. My eyes drifted to the clock. 10:46. I heard the doorbell ring, and I ran downstairs to the front door, wrenching it open and falling into my mother's arms, crying. And so now, here I sit, 10 years later to the day, in a lobby crowded with people because I can't stand to be alone. I remember my mother traveling into the woods the next day against my wishes, only to return and say she didn't see anything. My brain had played tricks on me in the dead of night, she said. I didn't believe it at the time, and I don't now. There isn't a night that goes by that I don't think about it. That one night, I'll wake up to see that horrible face again, and this time it won't be a dream. What scares me most is the thought that on that warm summer night, 10 years ago, I was the one who got away. The pet it didn't get to keep.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That was By the Light of the Firefly, written by Luke Weller and performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. Our first tale this evening came to us through CreepyPastaStories.com, our completely free, read-along horror fiction website featuring thousands of terrifying stories from writers around the world. If you enjoy discovering new voices in horror, or perhaps you've written a nightmare of your own, you can read, explore, and submit your work today at CreepyPastaStories.com. You know, there's something uniquely unsettling about childhood fears because they begin in places we once believed were completely safe. A familiar backyard, a well-worn path, the warm glow of a porch light, or a quiet summer evening can become the backdrop for a memory that never truly leaves us. It's often only in hindsight that we recognize the exact moment when curiosity gave way to dread, when the sounds of home faded into silence, and the world beyond the fence revealed itself to be something altogether different. Most of us can remember a place from childhood that carried an unspoken warning, a stretch of woods no one ventured into after dark, an abandoned lot where imaginations ran wild, or a forgotten road that seemed to swallow the light a little too quickly. Whether those places were genuinely dangerous or simply fertile ground for youthful imagination hardly matters. The feeling they inspired was real. And maybe that's the most unsettling thought of all. Some places don't need monsters to haunt us. They only need the possibility that, for one brief moment, we wandered somewhere we were never meant to be. What do you think, listener? Leave us a comment and let us know. Our second and final story tonight comes to us from author Aaron Shotwell, another talented contributor to CreepypastaStories.com, where new nightmares await around every corner. History has always fascinated us. We pore over ancient ruins, decipher forgotten languages, and unearth relics buried beneath the sands in hopes of understanding the people who came before us. Every discovery promises another piece of the past, another answer to questions that have lingered for centuries. But history has a way of keeping its own secrets, and not every mystery remains unsolved because we lack the means to solve it. Sometimes, the truth survives only because something far older has made certain it can never be fully understood. Tonight's tale follows one man's search for answers buried deep within the forgotten corners of ancient Egypt, where a remarkable discovery leads not to enlightenment, but to an impossible curse that reaches across millennia. It is a story about memory, identity, and the terrible price that can come from uncovering what others sacrificed everything to conceal. Without further ado, I present to you They Die Nameless by Aaron Shotwell, performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. My name is Ad M. Jays. My name is Ada J. M. S. My name is Dam Aim. I've been writing these words over and over for the past 12 hours, writing to remind myself. Yet no matter how many times I try to write it, it never lasts through the final stroke of the pen. I suspect it won't be long before the memory fades as well. I just hope this journal finds its way into someone's hands, anyone's hands. Please, whoever you are, please remember me. June 5th, 1964. Since before my university years, I have been fascinated by ancient Egypt, the cradle of civilization, where gods and empires rose from untamed sands. These stories of our beginnings lay buried in silent tombs for thousands of years. The Valley of the Kings held answers to many mysteries, and sometimes new mysteries for the finding. A wealth of revelation and surprises, and its allure drew me to the life of a historian many years ago. Above and beyond the profession, unveiling these wonders has been my greatest pleasure. To that end, today is a momentous day for my career. Until today, my research has been limited to secondary sources. As one might imagine, gaining access to original texts and artifacts can be a challenge. Yet I have the great fortune of receiving a rare donation concerning my most recent subject of intrigue, courtesy of a generous private collector. Unfortunately, for the sake of privacy, he wishes to retain anonymity in all publications. Still, though I cannot credit him for his contribution, I am most grateful. My current work involves the end of the 18th dynasty, family line of Akhenaten, and his controversial rejection of the old pantheon. Their reign is generally accepted to have ended with the death of his son, Tutankhamun. However, the contents of the boy king's burial chamber would suggest otherwise, namely, the two fetuses buried alongside him, each in its own sarcophagus. One died in what appeared to be its seventh month of prenatal development, the other in its fifth. Their identities and the causes of their miscarriage are as of yet unknown. my anonymous benefactor will be supplying me with those very same sarcophagi. Per request, he has sent them to my office at the University of Southampton. Hopefully, their examination will provide me with a valuable lead in answering these questions once and for all. The package will arrive by month's end, and I am eager to begin. June 29, 1964. The package arrived this morning, though in a rather precarious state, I must say, left unattended at my office door rather than the security desk as requested. The package itself was less than sturdy, hardly adequate protection for such priceless treasures. I'll be sure to voice my concern to the delivery company in the near future. The artifacts are no worse for wear, however, and they are beautiful indeed. My benefactor kept them pristine, clearly not in a dusty storage facility as I might have imagined. Two tiny sarcophagi adorned in gold and black, each containing an even smaller sarcophagus like Russian nesting dolls, and their shriveled remains would have rested therein. I had expected them to be brittle, yet they weathered the ages with surprising integrity. Unfortunately, the bodies themselves are unavailable to me. They are closely guarded at another facility, granting strictly limited access, and rightly so. Regardless, the coffins alone are a promising starting point in my research all the same. I will begin my work at once. July 10th, 1964. The coffins have been in my possession for over a week now, and they raise more questions than they answer. The photographs I had seen before their arrival showed no obvious signs of identity, so I suspected a more careful examination would be necessary. Yet they've yielded nothing. No names, of course. No epithets. No prayers. No symbols of protection. Not even the smallest indication of ritualistic practice concerning such deaths. That these fetuses were embalmed and entombed in royal fashion, yet put to rest with no marks of distinction, is a confounding enigma. I can only assume that they were Tutankhamun's miscarried children based on how near they were found to his resting place. And even that poorly supported conclusion lends no clue to the circumstances surrounding their deaths. Clearly, these two were of great importance. Their bodies were treated with the same care as any king. Why, then, would they die nameless? Why would it be permitted? This was no folly of incompetence or neglect. No, I can say with confidence that they were deliberately omitted. How very puzzling. July 23rd, 1964. At the height of my frustration, I made an astonishing discovery. To be honest, I am surprised that I am the first to notice it, or at least the first to mention it. At the foot of one of the inner sarcophagi, near the edge of the lip, beneath the lid, I found a very fine, nearly undetectable slit in the clay. It could easily be mistaken for a stress fracture, and I almost dismissed it as such. However, when I adjusted my desk lamp, that's when I saw it. Something deep in the slit, reflecting the faintest touch of light. After probing with a needle and a pair of tweezers, I was able to extract a small, tightly folded piece of papyrus reed parchment. Of course, it did not age as well as the clay sarcophagus, made thin and weak at its ancient seams. Keeping it intact whilst unfolding was a delicate and trying task, yet mostly successful. The last bit adheres to itself rather strongly and with evident purpose. The ink is quite faded, but I have been able to discern the following. Let their names die with them, sealed in earth and forgotten. They were called... Doubtless the last bit conceals what would have been their names in life had they survived. Though risky, I may be able to undo the last few folds with the careful application of a razor blade and a non-corrosive solvent. But I must use caution, as this could very well be the key to solving the riddle, thereby documenting a solid conclusion to an important period in Egypt's history. July 24th, 1964. I've been staring at this blank page for a while now, trying to find words to describe what I experienced last night. It sounds ludicrous, no matter how I think to phrase it, so I've been trying to rationalize it. It may be due to lack of sleep, or perhaps mounting frustration, perhaps oncoming sickness and feverish hallucinations. I'm uncertain, but I cannot fathom the alternative. Yet for all my reasoning, I cannot dismiss the chill crawling over my skin. The last of the parchment's folds gave more easily than I expected, requiring very little pressure at all, and they revealed what I now struggle to explain. I understood the characters that I saw. I understood their meanings and uses individually. I understood the sounds they should have made. But together, as I saw them in that state, they evoked no thought, only a dense fog of confusion, and any semblance of meaning dissolved from my mind the moment I looked away. Even as I attempted to copy the characters I saw, to put them to paper, I found that I was unable. I understood the lines that made them up, yet I could not move my hand to recreate them. It is as though these words, these names, refuse to be repeated. When I unfolded the last bit, I swear that I felt a gust of cold air rush over me. I heard a wordless whisper in my ear, calling me. It is a peculiar feeling, and as I labor to overcome it, I feel something dreadful surrounding these names. Something dark. What in the world have I disturbed? August 12, 1964. I have ceased my study. I would return the artifacts to my benefactor if they did not frighten me so. To be in the same room, to see them sitting atop my desk as I stand at a distance, is unbearable. The parchment is nowhere to be found, and for that I am grateful. I dare not set eyes upon those characters again, for just the one glance will certainly haunt me for life as it is. I have had horrible, relentless visions since the night I unveiled them, visions of suffering and regret. I will not set foot in that office again, not while those terrible things remain. I'll be leaving the city tonight. I do not know where I will go, but I am compelled to flee. I cannot abide this place. It's been tainted. I saw the jackal last night. He spoke of false gods. October 18th, 1964. I'm running now. Not home or anywhere specific, just away. I have to keep moving or they'll find me again. The two girls, two little girls with silver crowns, watching from the darkness. Wherever I go, they find me, and the shadows rattle like scarabs beneath their feet. Always the smell of sand in the wind, and they appear before me. They tell me they bring the wrath of the lion, the justice of Sekhmet. They tell me their names, a sound my mind cannot understand or tolerate, a sound not for the living. I must run. The names torment me. No gods before Ra. As are his faithful, so is the fate of Aten. December 9th, 1964. I return to the university today, perhaps in the hopes that I may appease the dead, that I may somehow give their names back to the void and the unborn daughters might leave me in peace. I returned as a stranger. Colleagues had forgotten my name. Old friends had forgotten my face. And my office, where my curse began, had never existed. In its place, I found nothing more than the wall connecting the rooms that once sat to its left and right, a wall yellowed with the same age as the building itself. I'll find no asylum here. I will move on. But I grow weary, and the lion woman awaits my resignation. May 30th, 1965. The months have crawled by, stripping away my former life little by little. I am without a home. I live in my car, and I steal to survive. Nobody seems to notice me anymore. They forget me as quickly as they see me. Nobody listens to my cries for help, and I sometimes believe they may not even hear my voice. I press on through the streets as a broken man, trudging more than walking, and they move past me without a second glance. My parents no longer know me. They never had a son. I have become a ghost, a lost cause with nowhere left to turn. My car broke down 2 days ago. No time to find another. No time to stop. I flee on foot. I sleep only where I lose consciousness. I pray they don't take me in my sleep, and I count my blessings when I wake where I collapsed. But I always see them waiting for me in the last moments of dusk before sunrise. I've taken shelter in a sewage tunnel for the night, but this is where I will likely find my final rest. I've grown too tired to stand. I cannot go on. I await my judgment. May 31st, 1965. When the sun last set, a Ten's gaze turned from me as it did from them. The boy king came to me, adorned in his burial garb, and he spoke with the hiss of the cobra. He gave me the names of his daughters, and with them an understanding. To know faith in Aten is to know the anger of Ra. To know Aten's faithful is to know the wrath of Sekhmet. To remember the banished ones is to face the void. And so, in exchange for their names, he took my own. This will be my last entry. Here, on this page, I leave my last words to the world, though they may never be known. Each letter's ink lifts from the page like ash on a breeze. And as I lay here dying, slowly collapsing to dust without the essence of a self, I cannot help but reach out to another in vain. I cannot help but try to leave a memory. Please, remember me. My name is...
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
That was They Die Nameless, written by Aaron Shotwell and performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. Few things are as frightening as the thought of being forgotten. We spend our lives leaving traces of ourselves behind. Our names, our stories, our relationships, and the memories we create with the people around us. We like to believe that those things endure long after we're gone. That in some small way we continue to exist through those who remember us. This story asks us to imagine something far more unsettling. What if memory itself could be taken away? What if the very idea of who you are could simply vanish? The horror here isn't merely ancient curses or forgotten tombs, but the quiet erosion of identity itself. Watching the protagonist lose not only his place in the world, but the world's ability to recognize he ever belonged there, transforms a tale of archaeological discovery into something deeply personal. It's a reminder that the oldest horrors are often the ones rooted in our most fundamental fears, not simply death, but oblivion. If tonight's journey beyond the last light left you checking the tree line a little more carefully, or wondering whether some ancient secrets are best left buried, remember that you can support Scary Stories Told in the Dark and enjoy even more exclusive content by becoming a member in our patrons area. For just $7.99 a month, you'll receive early access to new episodes, completely ad-free listening, exclusive bonus stories, behind-the-scenes features, and a growing archive of premium content available only to our patrons. Every membership helps us continue bringing together talented authors, voice actors, artists, musicians, and producers to create the nightmares you hear each week. To learn more, visit simplyscarypodcast.com or chillingtalesfordarknights.com, then click the Patrons tab. Your support helps us continue crafting stories that linger long after the final words are spoken. And for that, you have our deepest thanks. Before we go, I'd like to remind you that both of tonight's stories came to us through CreepyPastaStories.com, our completely free read-along horror fiction website featuring thousands of terrifying tales from talented writers around the world. Whether you're looking for your next sleepless night or you've written a nightmare of your own, we invite you to visit CreepyPastaStories.com to read, explore, and submit your work. Your story could become the next one featured here on Scary Stories Told in the Dark. If you enjoyed tonight's episode, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're joining us on YouTube, don't forget to like this video, subscribe to the channel, and ring the notification bell so you'll never miss another descent into darkness from Chilling Tales for Dark Nights. You can also find us on Rumble, where every new episode is available to watch, as well as on Facebook, Instagram, X, and TikTok for announcements, behind-the-scenes updates, and even more horror between releases. As always, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for spending part of your evening with us. Your continued support, your comments, and your willingness to venture into the darkness alongside us make this show possible, and it's a privilege to serve as your guide through these tales of terror. Rest assured, there are plenty more spooky stories still to come this season, and I look forward to sharing each and every one of them with you in the weeks ahead. I'm your host, Malcolm Blackwood, and it's been a pleasure guiding you on a journey through the dark tonight. Until next time, sleep well, listeners, if you can. Thank you for listening to Scary Stories Told in the Dark, a production of Chilling Entertainment and the creative team at Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, and a proud member of the Simply Scary Podcast Network. Visit simplyscarypodcast.com to learn more about our network and our other amazing storytelling programs. Tonight's program was hosted and its featured stories performed by yours truly, Malcolm Blackwood. Selected stories have been adapted with the kind permission of the respective authors. Original music provided by Eric Peabody, host and narrator of the Horror Hill podcast. Sound design, mixing, and mastering provided by Aaron Sawicki. Program artwork and logo by Craig Groshek. Got a scary tale of your own that you'd like performed? Well, I take submissions. Email it to me today at malcolm@simplyscarypodcast.com to have your terrifying tome considered for production in a future episode of this show. That's malcolm@simplyscarypodcast.com. If you've enjoyed what you heard on tonight's program and are joining us on your favorite podcast app, subscribe to us to be sure you never miss an episode and leave a 5-star review and a comment. Your feedback means a lot to me.
You can also follow Chilling Tales for Dark Nights and yours truly on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly Twitter, to connect anytime and get the latest updates on this and other programs. If you're listening on the Chilling Tales for Dark Nights YouTube channel, do us a favor and hit the subscribe button and the bell notification icon for CTFDN as well to get more spooky tales from me and the crew and another episode of this program each and every Sunday. And don't forget to hit that thumbs up button and tell us how we're doing and leave a kind word or request. Don't forget to visit us at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com and consider supporting the team by becoming a patron. In addition to helping us out, you'll get exclusive access to our audio archive and ad-free downloads of all your favorite stories, including those you've heard on this program. As for me, I'll be back next Sunday with more terrifying tales to keep you up all night. But that's all right. Who needs sleep anyway?
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.